Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Re, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honouring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing Batman and Harley Quinn.
I have nothing witty to say about it.
I don't think it had anything witty to say. That's part of the problem.
Incredibly painful film for me.
Yeah. I remember going into this, I thought, have I over-egged this and it's actually just mediocre and I'm just like, no, it's the worst movie. No, it really is as bad as I remember.
There's just one point after which it would never going to get me on side, so...
I think I know what part, but...
I'm absolutely sure you know which part, and yeah.
Yeah. So, Batman and Harley Quinn came out in 2017. It is directed by Sam Liu and written by Jim Creek and Bruce Timm. And I'm assuming it's meant to tie into the new Batman Adventures. Certainly it uses the character models from it.
Mm-hmm.
And as the title suggests, the two heroes we are following are Batman and Harley Quinn. The Nightwing is actually... as present in the film and doesn't get billed.
Yeah, of course not, because why would he?
Also, it's... So, Kevin Conroy and Lauren Lester are back as Batman and Nightwing. It is Melissa Rauch playing Harley Quinn, who...
Yeah, from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, which... I mean, if you... The only thing I can think of with this film is it was to try and... tie in people nostalgic for the animated series.
Mm.
So why you wouldn't get... I'm blanking on a name now. Arlene Sorkin to play Harley Quinn.
Because
mm-hmm. It's not like she hadn't played Harley... Well, she'd played Harley maybe about 10 years before for Arkham Asylum, but she, you know, she was still working, so... But, this... So yeah, this film is, as I said, it tries to tie into Batman the Animated Series, and it's the thing that worries me about this, because there's an HBO series and it's Bruce Timm and that crew coming back to Batman. I don't think that Bruce Timm knows what made the animated series successful.
Clearly not from this, he doesn't.
Because this film has no idea what it wants to be. It wants to be gritty and mature at some bits. It wants to be properly it's quite sleazy in bits, which I'm assuming
it's incredibly sleazy.
Is the bit that you really dislike?
Yeah, well, it's not so much that I dislike the bit. I just, that's where it lost me, and I just stopped caring about the rest of it. I just thought it was dumb. I'm not offended by stuff like that. Obviously, I'm old enough that I don't really care. It was just done badly, and it made no sense. And it was just like, okay, if that's where we are, then that's where we are.
And yeah, Batman in particular seems to veer between being two completely different characters dependent on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So we open up with... the Floronic Man, who's a character I don't think we've seen before.
Oh, I've never met him before.
I think he sometimes shows up in Swamp Thing, and he's a Swamp Thing and Batman villain.
Oh, it's a long time since I've read Swamp Thing, so yeah, maybe.
I think the character name shows up in Batman and Robin, but it's a completely different... Like, he's the scientist who creates Poison Ivy.
Right.
Floronic Man and Poison Ivy are trying to get some research on Swamp Thing.
I liked seeing a bit of Swampy.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest, that's where the film lost me. I was willing to hang with it until that, and I'm like, nah, this is a piece of trash. I didn't use the word trash, but this is a non-explicit podcast. So after an animated sequence that goes on for far too long, we got back to Star Labs. Batman and Nightwing are inspecting crime scene. At this point, we make it clear for people who aren't sure that Floronic Man and Swamp Thing are two separate entities.
Yes, which confused me a bit, but hey.
And Batman decides that he has some ideas on what to look into, but Nightwing has to speak to old contacts of Poison Ivy. Mm-hmm. The first one of which is Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Now, in the context of Batman the Animated Series, that does actually make sense. Because even though this was before they were together in the comic books, in the TV series, one, Poison Ivy actually... The reason that Harley Quinn is as physically superior as she is in the series is because Poison Ivy treated her with a serum. And there are two or three episodes where they do work together. So it is... I think she is the only character that is explicitly portrayed as a friend of Poison Ivy, so it does make sense.
But weird.
It's weird, and it's kind of a strange way to get to get Harley Quinn into the film. But hey, at least it's I can think of worse ways to get her in.
Yeah.
Batman goes to Argus and talks to Sarge Steele.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention at that bit, I have to say.
He's a bit of a Richard Grayson.
Yeah.
I think he's just there because they couldn't be bothered using Amanda Waller, who probably would have been more interesting.
It would have been more interesting.
So Batman then blackmails Sarge Steele into getting information on Harold Goldbloom, who's a doctor who is a weaponized pandemic expert.
That's just what we need right now.
To be fair, this was made 5 years ago. Meanwhile, Nightwing finds out that Harley Quinn is working as a waitress in a superhero themed
Not just superhero females theme bar, because I didn't see any guys.
Yes.
No waiters dressed up as buff heroes. No.
And there's no women here, apart from the waitresses.
Yeah, it's basically superhero hooters, but without calling it that.
Yeah, pretty much. And.
But it's all right because it goes and ogles them anyway.
Yep, and also, yeah. And also, Harley does put a particularly lecherous man in his place.
Yes.
Because you can look, but you can't touch, because that makes him better. I mean, but basically, it's not quite a stripper joint. It's not that far removed.
Yeah.
So Nightwing then stalks Harley Quinn into a really rough part of town.
Mm-hmm.
Though Harley knows full well that he's tracking her, is immediately, what are you doing here? Go away.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then a fight breaks out, which Harley Quinn wins by injecting Nightwing with a little bit of Joker toxin. Though, this is the only reference to Joker we have in this series, which is good.
Yeah, it is good.
That's one good thing. No Joker.
Slightly.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Batman heads to the apartment of the doctor that was kidnapped. Finds proof that the Phlegmatic Man was there.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, Batman's using a mobile phone in this film.
Well, why not, right?
And meanwhile, we get to Nightwing wakes up, and Hal is tied to the bed, and Hal is debating what to do, and
I can't even talk about it. Right. I'm so angry.
And it's weird because the actual start of the scene isn't terrible.
No,
and
it starts fine.
And the start of it is actually the closest it gets to an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Because Harley goes, well, the reason I'm working at this terrible job is because the whole time Nightwing's been taunting her about the job. I can't get a job as a psychiatrist because, weirdly, it turns out that people don't want to hire an ex-super criminal as a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And the only offers she got were of an adult nature.
Because just what you want in your animated films. But, you know, hey.
Of nostalgia of a kids' TV show.
They don't really know what age they want to pitch any of these at. It's a lot of the problem with a lot of the DCAU.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Harley then gets undressed and starts getting ideas, and we'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The scene ends with her straddling Nightwing in the dark, and it's implied that they,
have sex.
Yes. Meanwhile, Phlegmatic Man and Poison Ivy are not at all getting on.
No.
Which I
like that.
I do like that it's two people. They're quite obviously completely agree on the actual issue and just disagree on how to achieve it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
is nice, because like, you want to see them bickering. Like, villains all too often just align for the better bad, I guess.
Yeah. And Batman then walks in on Nightwing and Harley having a tickle fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's about as adult as they can get it while being a cartoon.
Yep, and also we have to imply that Dick Grayson was fully into it, because otherwise it becomes very, very scary.
I mean, there's no reason why he wouldn't be.
Oh no, absolutely.
In that, he's not compromised in any way. They're having a tickling fight. They look like, you know, he's not like, get off me. But I think it's kind of bad on all sides. Like, I just really hated the scene.
As much as
I hate Batman and Batgirl in Killing Joke.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not only that. I mean, Nightwing's implied to be kind of maybe just out of teenage age.
Is he, though? He doesn't look that young.
It's not quite clear what age he is in this.
The age wasn't... I don't think that was as much of a problem for me, because I don't think he seemed young teen.
So, I mean, certainly, obviously, Harley's known him since he was a kid as well. And
which is a problem, but also things like that happen. But, like, I just thought it was just not anything either of them would do. And, like, and it's just, like, there's just no need for it in the whole, like, nothing's gained from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Harley wants to actively get involved, which Batman is not at all happy about. But she goes, I think I can talk Ivy down.
Yeah.
Which, okay. Fair enough. You have to somehow get Harley to be in the rest of this film.
Yeah.
I love the fact that even kind of Nightwing, I think it's Nightwing, is either Nightwing or Harley, kind of goes, is Ivy and Phlegmatic Man's plan actually that bad, and it's like, and it's Batman goes, if it works, maybe. But the chance of it working and not killing everything is very small.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually very, considering how casual everything seems about it, it's a really high stakes situation.
Yeah, yeah. And they decide they want to make the whole world plant people. I mean, I'm not sure that would be so bad right now, but
yeah,
you know. But at the time, you know.
I think as well, the fact that he actually goes, no, the reason it's bad is not that she wants to turn, they want to turn people into plant people. It's that they want to turn plant people into plant people, and if it goes wrong, everything dies.
I mean, to be honest, if it doesn't go wrong, then people are all just like plants.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
no,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
really a good idea. I mean, it might be good environmentally, but it's not really a win-win for the world, whatever happens.
Yeah. So Harley then says, oh, I'm going to take you to meet one of Poison Ivy's old henchmen. Before that happens, though, she sees the guy, I think it turns out, the guy who turned her down for prom.
Yeah.
And starts a chase scene.
A just totally random chase scene.
Totally chat. Purely just to pad time out.
Yeah, because really there's nothing else left in the story. In the same as the sex scene, like, it wasn't needed.
But we need to pad out the
story.
But it
just have to make this into, like, film length. So
yeah, because this actually, this would, if you said this could have been an episode of the animated series, yeah, you could have got, maybe a two-parter, but you could have got away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So after driving away, we then get a point where Bruce mentions that he must have at some point went to med school and then left.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, a new thing, because I'm not sure that's ever been implied before, so that's something mildly interesting. So they head towards Bloodhaven. There's a bar. We have a thing that lasts for a minute where Harley farts in the car.
Oh, yeah, there's a fart joke. It's dreadful.
It's yeah.
I mean, although, to be fair, at least I can see that appealing to the younger audience. Which,
yes.
Like, the sex scene, I don't see where that appeals. The fart joke is like, okay, not funny for me, but, you know, at least that would get a laugh. I get that, you know?
Uh-huh. So they then go to a henchman's bar in Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
Which actually, again, makes me think that this is some attempt at a nostalgia of Batman the Animated Series, because almost all of the henchmen in this scene are one-shot henchmen from the series.
Okay.
And
but I had no idea who they were.
I can maybe see that, because as a mythology gag, Harley Quinn was meant to be a one-shot henchwoman. That's how she started out. So I can maybe see that as
maybe
a thing.
It's not a great joke.
It's not a great joke, but that's. I'm trying to give them some credit for something.
I'm really not.
Why.
Like, I'm, you know, good for you, but I'm not.
So Harley starts.
I feel bitter that I watched this. Can you tell?
Rebecca, I've watched this twice. Once in a cinema.
Yeah, okay, well, you only have yourself to blame.
In the amount of time I've spent watching Batman and Harley Quinn, I could have watched the whole of the Batman.
Well, again. Once again.
Yeah. So one of the henchmen buys Batman a glass of milk. And to get information from Shrubby, who's Poison Ivy's old henchman, Harley has to do karaoke.
Yeah.
So we get an extended sequence with two songs.
Which is really awful as well. It's such padding. I mean, like, the songs aren't funny, they're not good, they're just there. And they just, okay, let's just elongate it a bit.
And we do get the Batman punch. A henchman runs next to Batman, and without even looking, he punches them and knocks them down. Nightwing's properly dancing by the end of it, for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as our trio go to leave, the henchmen cut them off. So Batman downs his milk, takes off his belt, and then... Now, to this point, he's been played completely stoically.
Yeah, yeah.
And he randomly goes, "Okay, boys, let's dance."
Which is so weird.
Yeah. And we don't get to see the fight. Instead, we get the 60s Batman spontaneous words appearing in the air. And we get the gag of one of them is, "Oh my balls!"
It's just terrible.
Yeah. So, we then get back into the car where we get a bit where they point out the reason that the rest of the Justice League doesn't show up is because they're busy, and the only person that's really available to help is Booster Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at some point, I think Dick.
I like that phone call, though, because I like getting to hear Booster Gold.
Yeah.
That was, like, the highlight for me. But then, with Dick, like, being really dismissive about some of the other heroes was a bit, again, on Dick for me, but, you know.
He even, I think at one point, uses the masturbatory words.
Does he? I couldn't even really see his hand signals. He uses
Future Al, bleep this. He uses the wanker signal.
That's so...
I think we'll get away with it, because I think it's Americans that actually monitor whether it's... I might just ruin the Booster Gold bit for you.
Okay.
That's a Bruce Timm cameo.
Well, I don't care.
The writer.
I thought it was all... Yeah, I mean, like, I don't care. I don't think he's a good writer, but it's fine. I don't really care who voices it.
So, meanwhile, we see that the virus testing is not going well.
No, they're squabbling again.
And that the virus doesn't work and it kills a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the doctor then theorizes that what we might be able to do is if you go to the swamp where Swamp Man was created.
Yeah, for some reason. Oh, because they want the chemicals from there, isn't it? Yeah.
That exact biome might be what you need.
Yeah.
Okay. How the water that a virus is made in affects... Okay, fine. You know, I'll just ignore my degree as an actual qualified infection biologist.
Yeah.
So, before they're able to leave for Louisiana, however, the trio arrive. Harley does try to talk down Poison Ivy. And fails.
Yeah.
A fight breaks out. And it finishes with the lab in flames. And Poison Ivy regretting the fact that she leaves Harley to die.
Yeah. Nobody else is regretting it, but you know.
Yep. Harley does get saved by Nightwing, though. Nightwing is injured. Floronic Man does kill the Doctor at this point as well. Mm. And we get, to this point, a really jarring scene where suddenly Harley Quinn stops being goofy again and actually is serious for a minute as the Doctor dies.
Yeah.
And is actually super respectful.
Yeah, I like that bit.
Which makes the next scene with Batman really weird.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that we then cut back to Floronic Man and Poison Ivy is purely so that we don't get this as big a tone whiplash. because the Floronic Man has a yam that came from the body of Swamp Thing that when they eat, it means that the pair of them can travel through plants to Louisiana.
Yeah, plant portals. I mean, cool, but you know.
It's cool, and it's... Again, it's one of those scenes that's like, okay, so there are bits where you actually clearly know what you're doing, so why is the rest of it there?
Yeah.
So, Batman summons the Batplane to get to Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides that he doesn't want to take Harley because he can't trust her. Because she might just turn on him because it's Tuesday.
He's only just realised that. So,
yeah, you know, yeah, he's only just realised that at this point. World's greatest detective. And also, at this point, having just had two scenes where Harley Quinn's actually being serious and actually taking it seriously.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't... He lives by his own rules.
Yep. And also, at this point, the way that Harley convinces him is by having a breakdown right in front of him. Which is quite painful. So, also they do a gag of Harley vomiting on the Batplane.
Hilarious. Again, I can see kids laughing though, so.
Yeah, okay, no, I can see that.
Yeah.
Also, I think at this point they tell a story. I can't remember if it's this point or in the swamp. Harley tells a story of Poison Ivy turning a lollipop stick into a three-headed creature whilst she was eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Which ties into something later, so yay. Some form of foreshadowing and competence. As they're travelling through the swamp, Batman apparently is prepared for many things, but not bugs.
Yeah.
He is carrying vitamin B pills, though.
I mean, like, I'm surprised he doesn't have bug spray.
Yeah. But they're not sure that Poison Ivy and Floronic Man are even there until the plants start attacking.
Mm-hmm.
And Poison Ivy is right on the point of actually getting the virus mixed, and Floronic Man's distracting her because we need to pad out time.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Harley then randomly turns on Batman and Nightwing.
It's so random. Like, the whole thing is just so ridiculous.
And then it turns out, no, this was actually Harley's plan.
Oh, God.
Because she wanted Poison Ivy to be convinced that she was that she had turned against Batman and Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
So that she could then get close enough to Poison Ivy to talk her out of doing it. She points out, she realises that the virus has... Oh, sorry, no, this is later. She then, when Ivy tries to attack her, throws a weed killer pill into the tree, killing it. because of the stick incident, she keeps weed killer on her at all times.
Yeah.
So she's actually more prepared for this situation than Batman is.
I mean, it doesn't seem that hard with this situation, though.
Yeah. So we then get Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn have a fist fight, because that's the way that Poison Ivy's always fought, is fist fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst Batman and Nightwing get beaten up as well as an army by Floronic Man.
Mm.
Hey, at least it's Batman losing a fight for once. That's something.
I mean, it's something, but he shouldn't lose this fight. So,
yeah,
it's frustrating.
Meanwhile, Harley and Ivy are really evenly matched until Ivy actually remembers, oh yeah, right, I can control plants.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to release the virus. At this point, Harley Quinn realises Poison Ivy's not tested this. She has no idea if it's going to work.
Yeah.
And she uses her most powerful move.
Crying.
The Deus Ex Machina of this film is puppy dog eyes!
It's literally.
And it works!
So dumb.
And then Ivy and Floronic Man fight over trying to get the virus. Ivy wins at first, so Floronic Man then punches her out.
Yeah.
And just as he's about to release the virus, Swamp Thing appears!
Hooray!
And does nothing! It's literally just a bit so they can go, see, we didn't forget about Swamp Thing, he just doesn't do anything!
Yeah, and he's absolutely powerful enough to just come and kick all their butts, so...
And it's a shit, because it's actually quite a good scene until you realise that it's purely a gag.
It's ridiculous.
At which point, Harley then goes, can we not just set Floronic Man on fire?
Yeah, and Batman's like, okay, I'll just get a match.
And then
again, greatest detective.
And then Batman and Nightwing kiss Harley's cheek to finish the film.
It's just so bad. And there's a post-credits?
There's two.
Oh, God.
So one of them is Floronic Man running around the swamp whilst on fire. And the other one is... Now, apparently, this is actually meant to be a scathing indictment of the American insurance system. She is hosting a TV show that is like Wipeout.
Yeah.
Except the winner gets a free year of therapy.
I mean, look, it's not hard to indict the American mental health or health system, but this didn't really strike me as that great a version of it. So
yeah.
It was just like, yeah, okay, it's a bad joke.
So yeah, that was Batman and Harley Quinn.
Which is dreadful, but luckily we never have to watch it again.
Absolutely. That's one thing at least, yeah. So we don't have to watch it again, and I think we've now cleared that and Killing Joke, so I think we've cleared the two really big stinkers.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Hooray.
Hooray. The next film we're covering is Lego DC Superhero Girls.
Which we have no idea what that's going to be like.
That said, I've kind of liked both Lego DC and Superhero Girls, so it might
the
be
most
okay.
Recent one, anyway. I don't like the ones before that, but I like this one. Yeah,
both of them were... And, hey, do you know what? Do you know what's definitely not going to happen in this? Any sort of sexiness of any kind. Oh,
so is it just called... Quote, what's it called? Lego DC Superhero Girls... Has it got a title as well?
Brain Drain.
Okay, cool.
So I'm assuming that Brainiac's involved.
Almost certainly, right?
I'm just having a look. No, he's not.
Okay.
It's not that funny. So after that, we've got Batman vs. Two-Face, which is the second and final Adam West Batman film. Which I've heard good things about, actually. I think it's William Shatner voices Two-Face.
God.
Then Scooby-Doo and Batman, The Brave and the Bold.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Batman Gotham by Gaslight, which...
I've read that.
Yes, the film that disregards the thing that actually was serving as the actual interesting draw of Gotham by Gaslight, which was the Mike Mignola animation drawing style, and completely changes the plot. So at least it's going to be a surprise. I also have Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
And the fifth film, just to cover all the kind of films we're covering, is Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, which is the second Suicide Squad film we've covered, and it is the first one set in the DC animated universe.
Okay. Interesting.
And it's... I quite like it, actually. I have a lot of time for it. It gets the Suicide Squad right in a lot of ways that... the most... Well, when I'd seen it, Suicide Squad had just come out, so... It gets the Suicide Squad right in a way that that film doesn't.
Interesting.
So I have a lot of time for it.
Cool. I will look forward to it then.
I also have a lot of time for it because of one of the performances in particular, but I'm not going to say which one because it's a massive spoiler.
Interesting.
But that's the next five films that are coming up. Are you appearing in any other podcasts soon? I saw this week that we're recording you appeared on Moon Knight.
Yeah, there's a new issue of the main Moon Knight run, and I forgot, but I was on the most recent Iron Fist, Immortal Iron Fist, Sons of the Dragon. So.
Sons of the Dragon, yeah. Also, I am still doing the Rise of the Robots podcast.
Yeah, how's that going?
Yeah, it was great. We actually managed to finish Robot Wars Extreme, which I had the last two episodes of Robot Wars Extreme. I had over 4 hours of material to edit.
Wow.
Between, we had two episodes with special guests, one of whom was Rebecca. Mm. We also did we had Jam Presents on as guests for the episode that's coming out. Well, it'll be out by the time that this comes out. Which was the Forces special, which is the worst episode of Robot Wars, so why on earth someone was willing... No, genuinely, we invited... I invited Jam Presents, because I'd wanted to do a crossover with them for a while.
Yeah.
So I invited them, and I basically said, we have two different options available.
Yeah.
And one of them was the final main episode of Robot Wars Extreme, which... is quite a good episode, or the Forces special. And I went, they won't take the Forces. No one would want to appear on the Forces special. It's the worst episode.
Oh, no.
And they were like, no, we'll do the Forces special.
Oh, okay. Bless.
Okay. So I think it's a two-hour recording. I think we talk about the actual episode for 10 minutes. Most That's of it's so just funny. Us arsing around.
That is very funny.
So yeah, that's what's coming up. That's where else you can hear our dulcet tones. And we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Lego DC Superhero Girls.
Hooray. Hopefully it's good.
Well, it can't be worse.
I mean, you say that.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.